This is In the Room with Sean Clancy.
I'm Sean Clancy, and I'm in the room with retired jockey Robbie Davis here at Saratoga. What's it like training your own string here at Saratoga? Still at it. I'm still going around there every morning.
Yeah, it's a job, I tell you. You know, it's an uphill battle here at Saratoga. You got to have the right stock, and we're kind of in between the right stock and Finger Lake stock. So, but we keep swinging.
You're here with your son Eddie Davis in a little barn, kind of behind the paddock. Your wife's here working. It's a family affair, I guess.
Yeah, it's great. It's what we do. You know, we have three kids, are jockeys, and Eddie started training. He wanted to claim horses, so I helped him get a couple owners, and he's doing a good job with that. And I just couldn't put myself up to claiming horses for guys that I'd rode for 20 years and owners and stuff. So plus my son rides, and it just don't look good. So but Eddie's doing a good job with it, and you know, rightfully so.
Did you ever try to talk any of these kids out of getting in the horse business, or are you talking them into it?
Oh, it's funny. I directed them all to school, and I directed them away from it, and they all end up coming. As soon as the last one graduated high school, I started training. That was Dylan, and he didn't know what he was going to do, and he decided he wanted to be a jockey after the last day of the meet on Labor Day. And so I went home, and I said, now, Dylan, you know, this takes a commitment of 5 years. You know, you just don't become a jockey overnight. I mean, I know you race these dirt bikes and everything, but you got to do the right thing. I'm going to send you over to Chris McCarron's jockey school. So we went upstairs and put my boots on, old boots and old pants and some silks and a helmet. And I'll be damned, it fit just perfect. And so he says, well, Dad, how do I look? I said, you look great, but let's get the saddle out. We're going to tack up the pony out here in the paddock. And, well, Dad, you know, I don't know. I said, just get on. Let's see how you feel in these silks on this saddle, this little jock saddle. And we legged him up and had a couple of friends hanging around watching. It was like, Rob, are you sure? Are you sure? And he's leaning like he's on a dirt bike trying to turn left and right. I was like, no, Dylan, you got to use the reins to turn, you know. And then the horse went into the running shed, and we're all standing there like, oh, no, oh, no. And then he came out, and he was still on. We're like, yeah! And we were all surprised. So we called McCarron, and Chris, I said, Chris, you got another one to leg up over here. I says, I can't get them out of bed and fight with them with their friends and everything over here. You got to do it. So he put him in the school, and at Christmas time he said, Rob, he's good. He's good. He's going to be a good one. He only needs to come here for 1 year because he's very advanced. And then Wesley Ward took him under his wing and took him to Keeneland, won some races in Canada, and then he rode for him in Florida. He was the fourth leading rider in Florida. And you know, and the rest is history. So I'm really proud of him, really proud of him. It's great for him to come to his hometown of Saratoga and with his friends, and gives him a lot of bragging rights, you know, when we go out to dinner. So I get free cups of coffee everywhere I go. So it's great.
Yeah, there's some perks, right?
Yeah, there is. They don't remember who I am. Robbie who? What? Oh, you know Dylan? I said, yeah, I know Dylan. I know him. Oh, man, let me buy you a cup of coffee. Yeah.
Well, the first year, I remember seeing a kid walk across Nelson Avenue on a horse of Wesley Ward's, and I looked up, and I said, that's Robbie Davis. That's a young Robbie Davis. And I kind of walked over there and realized it was Dylan. Can you see the similarities of your style with his?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And he just, it's uncanny how it passed on. I mean, we're exact same size, and he sits there and saves ground, and, you know, he wins the race on the third and fourth best horse all the time. And he just, he's a natural. And Jackie's a natural, and so was Katie. But funny story was, Dylan was come back out of the jockey school, and he was getting ready to ride. He had 5 wins to make before he started the bug. And Jackie'd won 2 or 3 races at Aqueduct. And we're on the horse path, and everybody's like, oh, congratulations, Jackie. But it was Dylan. So Dylan come into Barney's crying. And he's like, Dad, I'm not going back out there. I said, what's the problem? What happened? They think I'm Jackie. I said, oh, well, just give him the finger. Just give him the finger. That's what Jackie would do. And he starts, no, he can't do that. And I said, well, then put some eyeliner on and smile at him, you know. Which they look identical with helmets on, you know. But, yeah, Dylan rides a good race, and he don't need the best horse to win, which is really a plus for a lot of these guys.
Yeah, do you watch your kids ride as a father, or do you watch as a jockey?
Well, at first it took me a while because I was the father, and I would run in the bathroom. I didn't know if I was going to take a crap or throw up, and I'd come back out, and Jackie'd be in front, and I'd be like, oh, I'd have to push rewind and see how the hell she done that, because she'd scared the daylights out of me. And then finally I just put it in her hands, in God's hands, because I couldn't watch. But my son, I watch him and I help him, and he also has Mike Migliori, which is Richie Migliori's brother. And so it's a tag team that we do with Dylan, that we help him a little bit, and it's really paid off. It's really paid off.
That must be great pride for you to watch your kids. And you have a son-in-law, Trevor McCarthy, as well. So you basically have four kids riding races.
Yeah, I mean, when we go home and that TV goes on and the races, we're jumping from Maryland to Aqueduct to Belmont, you know, to Del Mar, Santa Anita. And then Jackie was riding at night at Penn National. So we really couldn't put the fork down. We just kept whipping all the way all of the afternoon. And just like she went two or three a day with us. And it's exciting. It really keeps it fun.
Take us back to the beginning. You grew up in Idaho, and riding came naturally then. I mean, you kind of riding as a kid, or what was that like?
I started out on dirt bikes on my uncle's gas tank, and he'd give me rides through the mountains, and I'd hang on to that dirt bike and the handlebars, and I raced dirt bikes, and then I raced cars, drag race cars on Saturday, and raced dirt bikes on Sunday, and I couldn't make much money at either one of them. My little trophy and kind of get a little banged up every weekend, you know, and my friend had a brand new truck, a brand new trailer house, a great big belt buckle, and a tall blonde. And I said, man, this is for me. I said, this guy's doing good. I said, I come home and told my uncle I wanted to be a jockey. I said, he got a brand new truck and everything over here. He said, well, go where you can make some money. If you're going to climb on their back, go to New York, go to California, go where you can really, you know, make a living at it and do well. You can always come back to Idaho and ride quarter horses. So I sailed out of there with 43 tickets, a suspended license. I swapped the license plates of my Aunt Bonnie's Volkswagen, and away I went. I went to New York on fictitious plates, no insurance, and no license. But I didn't turn my license in because in case I'd gotten pulled over, I had a license to show them, and it wasn't valid, but it was something to show them. So, and then I won my first race on Comanche Brave, Dominic Del Vecchio. One of the hardest prayers I ever prayed when I come onto Belmont Park, I pulled 6 pounds in the hot box, and I was seeing spots all through the infield. And I was like, God, I know I've asked you for many things, but if you could just let me win this one race, I could tell all my friends I want to race in New York. And I can go back home, you know, with some real bragging rights. And I won that first race. And I won 3 that week. So I'd gotten my check, and it was $3,800. And I said, wow, they made a big mistake here. I said, man, maybe I could skip town and get home. I can get home on this. And my valet, I said, listen, I said, I got dressed, and I thought better of it. I said, I'll get arrested. You know, they'll have me arrested before I get to the Mississippi. I said, well, I told my valet, I said, listen, they made a mistake on my check. And he's like, well, let me see it. And he folded it out and looking at it. He says, well, it's all there. What did you? I said, no, I only won 3 races. He goes, oh, well, welcome to the Big Apple, Jock. I was like, wow, I kind of like this. This is great because we got $16 to ride and $26 to win in Idaho. Here I got $3,800, you know, in my pocket. And, man, I was rich. But, Yeah, and it went from there. And we came to Saratoga that first year in 82, and I fell in love with Saratoga Springs. It was just like Idaho, and the mountains and the lakes and the best horse racing in the world. I said, this is where I want to live. And we raised our family here. That's a great spot. Best horse racing in the world. Greatest game outdoors.
No doubt. Highlight of your riding career, was a Wagon Limit or Arlington Million what stands out?
You know, a Wagon Limit was the best. He was 30-1. The chief comes out with a suit and tie on and a hat. And he had that kind of high-pitched voice, you know. And I read the form. I'm 30-1. There's lots of speed. He says, well, Jock, what are you going to do? He's asking me, what am I going to do? I said, well, chief, let's just sit off the speed a little bit and make a little run, get a check. Yeah, that sounds good. We'll get a check. Just sit back there and make one run. Get it. That sounds great. It's a million-dollar race, you know. So I looked up down the backside. I was 20 lengths back, and I'm counting the horses, and I'm about seventh or eighth. And so I asked the horse just a little bit, and the horse just gave me the finger, and he says, no, this is a five. He said, we ain't making a move from the 5/8 pole. And I'm going, oh, I'm dead. So I got to the half-mile pole. I passed two. So I says, oh, good, I'm going to be fifth. And I got to the 3/8 pole. I said, oh, good, I'm going to be fourth. And I turned for home. There was two in front of me, and they collapsed at the 8th pole. And I said, oh, he's going to like this. This is going to be great. And we won the darn thing, and I come back and said, how's that for a check, chief? Oh, he started crying, had tears coming down his eyes, and Mr. Shields and his wife there. It was the greatest feeling ever. I can just put it in a jar, you know, and save it. It was so much fun. It was a highlight. It was a real highlight. Didn't do it for him, you know, was even so much better because he would scream and yell at you for a cheap claiming race, you know. If you weren't digging in, he'd come back and say, you're getting a little long in the tooth. I said, put me back on that, son of a gun. I'll show you. What? You ride him this time? And I was just kind of protecting. He wasn't traveling so great, you know. And so put him back on, and we win. And but he had his thumb on the pulse, and there's some good horsemen here that do, and it's fun to be around them and watch my kids be able to ride for them, and it's exciting.
Yeah, it's an amazing journey. Get out of Idaho and make it in New York.
Yeah, well, you know, last weekend, our son got married in the Hamptons, and I'm sitting there. I'm going, well, I went from the trailer park on welfare to the Hamptons in New York to raise my son. And, you know, I named this one Robbie Jr., and you tend to want to spend a little more time with ones you name after yourself. You don't want them to open up the first page of the paper and see them in the police log, you know, your name or something, you know. So he was reading by the time he was three, you know, and he went to Drexel and graduated Drexel University, and we're just so proud of him. And we're proud of all of our kids, you know. They haven't been on the second page of the newspaper yet, knock wood, but we came. It was a long travel, you know, and my wife and I had a lot of fun times raising these kids. And, you know, it takes a good woman to back you and support you and moving around and working every weekend. And that's a hard life, you know. You got to work every weekend, and you sacrifice. And I went to the school PTA meeting, and said, Mr. Davis, everything's fine, but we got a big problem here. And I said, well, what's that? He says, well, your kids have missed 11 Tuesdays in a row. And I said, oh, yeah, that's true. She says, well, what are we going to do about it? I said, well, ma'am, she was a nun, you know. And I said, ma'am, I put my neck on the line every day, 9 times a day. And when I come home, I say my prayers and my blessings. And every Saturday and Sunday, I miss the ball games. I miss the cheerleading, the wrestling, and the soccer games. But when Tuesday comes, I don't have the heart to take these kids and drop them off at the school. And so I hook up the fishing boat, and we go to the other direction. and pack a little lunch, and we go out on the water, or we do something to the bowling alley, or we go do something. Well, Mr. Davis, that's so great of you. She says, you continue to do what you're doing, and just be sure they do their homework on Tuesday, you know. So I said, no problem. So we work around a little bit. It was great.
Wow, that's the epitome of raising kids on the racetrack, right?
Yeah.
The question of the day, the Fanticipate question of the day, who was your biggest fan when you were riding races?
Oh, my mother. Yeah, my mom, bless her heart. She died a year ago yesterday on the 1st of September, and I'd fly her all over the country, Chicago and Del Mar, and she got to meet Tim Conway, and she was just the backbone of the family. And she was all 4'8" and just full of vinegar and honey, you know. She was, you didn't want to rub her wrong, but she was so much fun. And she always told me, she said, don't let nobody tell you you can't do it. And if they don't believe in you, tell them to sit back and watch, because you're going to show them. And she was fabulous. You know, we really miss her.
That's Robbie Davis. He showed them.